Good morning, everyone. My name is Apoorv Chamaria, and I lead venture capital and startups for Google India. We are thrilled to officially announce AI Startup School 2024 in partnership with Ministry of IT Startup Hub and Startup India. This is a momentous occasion for all of us as we embark on a journey to empower the next generation of Indian startups with the tools and knowledge, including AI, to help them leverage the opportunities which are coming up. And I welcome all of you. Over the past 2 years, Startup School has been a catalyst for growth, supporting more than 25,000 startups across India. We've received amazing response from participants who have come from more than 700 cities and towns across India. They have valued the practical insights and mentorship provided during the sessions. Many have found it very useful to get practical insights, mentorship opportunities, and cherish the networking connections they forged during the program. We are thrilled today that Startup School has played a pivotal role in many entrepreneurship journeys. Here is a small video of last year's Startup School. Let's have the video, please. We've seen firsthand the incredible potential of Indian entrepreneurs, and we believe that AI is the next frontier of innovation. Hence, we have reoriented last 2 years Startup School to help startups leverage the power of AI. Startup School 2024 will cover everything from the basics of AI to practical applications of AI across industry sectors. We will share insights on product development, technology strategy in the AI era, and how to align these to your startup's business goals. And of course, we have a special section for our app-based startups. We have a special four-week module packed with proven strategies for success designed by Google Play. Please look forward to that. Next slide, please. I would be remiss if I don't take a moment to thank our amazing partners. Our collaboration with Meti Startup Hub and Startup India will help us achieve our shared vision of fostering a thriving ecosystem in India. We aim to train 100,000 plus Indian startups to leverage AI. Can we have the next slide, please? We also have many amazing ecosystem partners without which we are not being fair in our ability to reach and take the program to the last mile across India. We believe that the future of India's ecosystem is bright, and AI is the key to unlocking its true potential. With joining us on this journey is Thai Delhi NCR, Maharashtra State Innovation Network, Jagriti Yatra, RBI Innovation Hub, and Sign from IID Bombay. These partners are amazing, and thank you so much for partnering with us on this incredible Startup School journey. Can we have the next slide, please? We have a amazing panel discussion coming up, and I couldn't be more thrilled to welcome two amazing speakers, Padmaja Ruparel, who's the co-founder of India Angel Network. Padmaja has been ranked as amongst the top 50 most powerful women in business by Fortune India, listed in Forbes W Power Trailblazers, and been ranked amongst the most powerful women in business by Business Today. Padmaja is the co-founder and president of India Angel Network, which is one of the world's largest groups of business angels, comprising of who's who of startup entrepreneurs and dynamic CEOs from India and overseas. Padmaja has built IAN from its inception, within a decade making it one of the largest angel ecosystems globally, spanning more than 150 companies across 7 countries, 17 sectors, and operations across 6 cities, including London. Joining us is next Dr. Manish Gupta, who's a director at Google DeepMind, leading teams across India and US focusing on applied AI research. Previously, Manish has led VideoKin, a video technology startup, and research centers at Xerox and IBM. Manish has co-authored more than 75 papers with more than 8,000 citations on Google Scholar, as has been granted 19 patents. Welcome to our session where we discuss the potential of AI and its boundless opportunities. Can we please have Padmaja and Manish? Hi, Manish. Can we have Padmaja as well? Okay, let's start with Manish. So Manish, you've been a part of all key AI advancements at Google, including language inclusion, AI for social good, and more. What are your key observations on how the AI technology landscape is evolving, and where are we heading, especially in India?
Yeah, thanks, Apurva. So at least, so two things. One is, AI, the foundation models capabilities, right? So, I mean, what we saw in the first wave, we saw deep learning become pretty much like the de facto way of coming up with the state-of-the-art way of solving problems. It started overtaking a lot of the conventional machine learning-based methods. And over the last like 4 to 5 years, we have again seen foundation models and Gen AI, basically models, really become again the most powerful way of solving these problems. And instead of having to build like custom trained model, right, for each problem, these foundation models are giving us a very, very powerful starting point. And often you can simply use them out of the box or fine-tune them for a given use case. So it's very, very exciting, right, that the kind of broad range of problems you can solve using these Gen AI models or foundation models. So that's very exciting. One of the things that we've been very kind of focused on is how do we make sure we bring the benefits of these kinds of models to everyone, not just the privileged few. And if you look at just these large language models, by default, right, you say kind of, you see that, yes, these models are, there are over 7,000 languages in the world. By default, these models maybe understand of the order of 100 languages, and they do very well on perhaps only about 10 languages. So how do we close that gap? So that's one of the areas we've been very focused on. And then these models are also very expensive to run, computationally extremely expensive to both train as well as run. So how do you bring down the cost of serving these models, right? So that you're able to scale these offerings in a cost-effective manner to, again, billions of users. And of course, then applying them in new areas like agriculture, health, and so on, that have previously not been as touched by AI. Yeah, so I'm seeing some, I think Padmaja probably was on the wrong link, so hopefully she should be joining us.
Excellent. So Manish, while we wait for Padmaja, if Padmaja is on, can we have her please, Aga?
Yeah.
Hi.
Good to see you.
Hello, Padmaja. Good to see you.
Hi, morning.
Morning. I just finished a glowing welcome and introduction for you. So we'll share that recording.
No problem.
So Padmaja, you know, IAN is possibly one of the largest angel networks in the world. And I'm sure you guys are seeing a lot of startups, businesses and investments in the AI sector. In your view, what are you seeing in the Indian AI ecosystem, and where is this whole industry headed?
No, I think clearly AI is top of the mind. We are seeing investment opportunities literally from seed level to Series A, Series B, because we also have a VC fund, right? So we are actively investing in this space. But I think there is the potential and the shift are both important. I think the power of AI, which was, I would akin it to some ways that it's a kind of a point where mobile was a few years ago, right? How the mobile technology completely moved things from website to the 6-inch device. I think AI has a similar power to do it. That's the potential of what AI is. However, I think if one looks at it just as a vertical, I think that is over. The train has left the station in some ways, right? So you had a lot of general AI, which was nearly chatbots, etc. I think that is over. With OpenAI coming in, that is now not going to be really easy to do because there is a whole Microsoft play that is happening. I think the power for us is very, very different. The power for us is to really create, use AI as a horizontal, right? And solve specific problems, right? And we have a complex issues that we need to solve in this country. For example, it is not only a problem of healthcare or customer acquisition or customer relationships or accessing public infrastructure. Those are not the only problems. I said the complexity of it actually gets multiplied by the fact that we have a number of languages and that we operate in this country. We are not two languages or three languages country. We are a huge play. What works for Bangalore, Delhi, and Bombay may not work for, let's say, some third and fourth tier town. So I think the complexities are very interesting. These are real problems that AI can solve, help us solve at a very, very low cost, right? So where you would have, for example, a healthcare where a doctor is sort of diagnosing or throwing up prognosis, I think AI can do it at a fraction or literally a fraction of a fraction cost. You know, you can do it at $1 for that matter. So if you look at very specific targeted problems, I think AI is what it can solve. And we need to move. And one of the things as an investor that we really are challenged, I'll be very honest, we get hundreds of deals, right? Let me tell you today, at least 80% of those have the word AI on it. Okay. And our challenge is actually twofold. First, we were scraping, is there an AI? So we had to dive to say, is there really an AI or is it a wrapper? I'm being very, very candid. Okay. The second is now that is it a general AI or is that AI actually a kind of a precision surgery on the problem, if I may use that as an example. So I think the nature of services, the nature of problem solving, the leverage of AI and the cost effectiveness and the complexity, solution for the complexity of it, I think those are the things that we are thinking. But having said that, I think that is the opportunity. And that is what we need because we are, in effect, a very capital efficient, cost conscious kind of a country. So that's what I think is the potential and where we can take this.
Thank you, Padmaja. So Manish, you know, some research reports say that GenAI has the potential to add anywhere between $1 to $1.7 trillion to the Indian economy over the next 7 years. And India has its own unique opportunities or challenges which GenAI can solve. And I know you and your team in both US and India think very deeply about the problems and opportunities which India offers. So what, according to you, would be the top two or three opportunities which GenAI can solve for in India?
Yeah, so let me maybe talk about three things. First one, to build upon Padmaja's point, right? I mean, we are a linguistically, right, a very diverse country. So India has 22 scheduled languages. And if you really look at the total number of our languages, that's like, and dialects, I mean, the dialects are in thousands. And we can arguably say we have over 100 languages, which are spoken by at least 1 lakh people in India. So first and foremost, I think there needs to be that work to make these technologies actually work for all of the different languages that are spoken by people in the country, to make them, again, cost effective, so that you can really scale these services to, again, billion plus users in India at a cost effective manner. And finally, we believe that at some point, you really need to extend these technologies to not just understand languages, even cultures. so that when you're responding to that user in Assam, you're not just coming up with the response in Hindi or English and then translating that in Assamese. You are really thinking and coming up with the response in that cultural context. So those are some of the foundational aspects. The second, I would say, again, now we have such powerful capabilities in these foundation models or generative AI models that now you can start to pick any vertical. You can look at health, you can look at learning, you can look at agriculture, and really start to have much more powerful solutions on the back of these foundation models. And I think that is truly a unique opportunity, again, for entrepreneurs to leverage the power of these Gen AI models and start solving these hard problems, right, in a deep manner. And finally, I would say this is an area where I would love to see more work happening. Not enough is happening in India. I mean, if you think about, imagine, let's say already, right, AI is like a superhuman, whatever, expert on any topic, right, that is available to you. For a teacher, it means for a learner or a teacher, it again means somebody who's almost like pretty much has the entire world's knowledge embedded inside it. Or even for a doctor, right, it's again almost like an expert that has all of the world's whatever medical knowledge embedded inside it, which is able to help you with diagnosis and so on. If you take it to a logical conclusion, think about AI, again, accelerating scientific discovery. We've already seen some very early trends, early peak, right, at what is possible through efforts like AlphaFold and now AlphaFold 3 out of Google DeepMind, as well as some of our weather forecasting models, that these AI-based models are completely kind of, again, helping us kind of do the kind of work that previously, right? I mean, for instance, protein folding, it used to take an entire PhD to understand the structure of a single protein. Now, structure of 200 million proteins known to humankind has been made available through AlphaFold. Again, weather forecasting, you're doing more accurate weather forecasting for the next 5 to 10 days through these AI-based models compared to the traditional physics-based models. Now, think about how you would apply that to really help you discover new drugs, help you discover new materials. You can literally start designing materials pretty much from first principles using these methods and ultimately help you make new scientific discoveries, right? And then enable even further progress. So that's the part where I would respectfully disagree with Padmaja, that AI doesn't have the potential of mobile, comparable to mobile. I think it's going to be several orders of magnitude more profound than the change that was brought about by mobile or any of the technologies that we have seen. It's going to be extremely transformative.
Thank you, Manish. Padmaja, India is making rapid strides in AI. From the time where global investors and founders were saying India can't build LLMs, to now India having many regional language LLMs, to some startups being featured in top 50 globally in consumer AI applications. We've come a long way. Where do you see India positioned globally in the AI race? And most importantly, what are the key factors that will propel Indian startups in AI to global prominence?
It's a good question. And to be honest, one of the questions that I keep asking when we use the word global is, what is the globe, right? But let's take that lightly. No, absolutely. I think the talent and the work happening in the country is rapidly developing very fast. Okay. We just need to understand two things. I think in other parts of the world, the work is happening even faster. So we do have a race, and we have a race where we have a handicap, right? So we need to figure out, like we do for any other startup business that we set up, is what is going to be our differentiator that can help us actually accelerate the whole AI revolution, not only for the country, but for many other parts of the world, right? I think if you look at, and again, I'm going back to the previous point, it is not, to me at least, just the technology that is getting built. I think technology, what is it solving ultimately? That's where the value creation happens. Value doesn't just get created with a AI product. What is that product actually then going to solve? That becomes important. And I think for us, our place in the sun could well be that we have the talent, okay? We have the problems that many other parts of the world have. You know, whatever works in India will surely work in some other parts of the world, be it Near East, Near West, Far East, Far West, it will work, right? So we have a place in the sun that we can grab and actually build for what I would call the real globe. You know, it may not work for some parts of the world. Let's accept that, because there is work happening there. The problem statements are also very different, right? So we need to create our differentiator model. I don't think we are in a race. At least I don't think we should be in a race, to be honest, to say we are going to beat the US, we are going to beat Israel, we are going to beat everybody. It's not going to happen. You know, that's not likely to happen. And we should not aim for that. What we should aim for, that if there is a problem in sanitation, if there is a problem in water, if there is an X problem in healthcare, our startup has to be the best in the world, which can solve it at different levels. It can solve it as a solution. It can solve it as a business, that the business model makes sense. It should solve it that the customer should be able to use it. You know, it needs to be simplified to that level. It should be that it can be scaled, and it should be quote unquote customized for different ecosystems. You know, healthcare in Africa is very different to healthcare in India, but there are basic foundational issues on which it can be built. So I think for me, Apoorva, to me, to be the top of the globe is sort of not the real goal that I would set for myself. I would set for myself is, what is the exact problem I'm solving? And I need to be the best in that, which is then able to be applicable to different geographies around the world. And accept that certain geographies won't work. You know, I have a company in my portfolio, I'll just give it one small example, which is not an AI, let me also be honest with you. But its entire GTM strategy is not to go to North America. That's it. And it's cleaning up a lot of other parts of the world, from LATAM to Ireland to Europe to even Russia to Far East, Indonesia. And now it's starting to think about Africa. So I think we need to also understand, what does global mean for us, or what is top of the line mean for us? But if we can do that, to be honest, the potential to create valuable technology, and valuable technology is what is monetizable, what is commercial, what is going to attract that revenue, what is going to solve customer problem, that becomes important.
Excellent. So one of the topics which, you know, we like to think very deeply about is, how can AI create a more equitable world, and how can AI be used to solve for social challenges? So Manish, maybe we could have you first share some thoughts there, and then we'll come to Padmaja on the same question.
Yeah, so one of those areas, apart from the foundational work, right, that I mentioned, trying to make it work for different languages, for understand different cultures and make it more efficient, we've, for instance, looked at tackling problems in agriculture, right, which have not received as much attention. Although, again, it's great to see a lot of startups, we have seen startups like Cropin, Amnex, so many exciting startups, right, tackling problems. To really tackle some of these problems at scale, again, that's where AI can come in. So, for instance, we've had this effort where, just by analyzing satellite imagery, we've been able to come up with the first ever model that is able to show the entire, understand the entire agricultural landscape of India, right down to field boundaries. So that now you're able to, again, pretty much, I look at it as analogous to Aadhaar, just like for mobile payments and so on, the foundation was laid by this India stack, which started with giving a unique ID to each individual. If you can start to assign a unique ID to each farm in the country, start to identify additional information about what's going on at all of those farms, right? What crops are being grown, if you're able to estimate the likely yield, now you can start to unlock so many of these powerful use cases, like loans to farmers. Because today, there is very little, despite the farmers' need, right, for such, for loans and so on, they are unable to get those, right, from the formal banking system and end up getting caught up with loan sharks and so on, and getting reasonable priced crop insurance. If you look at, again, the various state governments, there's so much money that they spend on subsidies. How do you make sure that these are being spent the right way in a data-driven manner? Are the subsidies going to the right set of farmers, right, who are planting those crops that they claim to be planting and so on? So there's a lot of very important use cases that you can begin to unlock if you start to provide a nice digital stack, right, which can be AI powered. So those are some of the foundational layers that we have been working on at Google DeepMind, and now making some of these capabilities available to agri-tech startups as well as other tech companies who can now build on actual use cases, right? Who can now come up with the solutions to those specific problems that are faced by farmers, that are faced by whatever companies that target them. Likewise, we have looked at novel algorithms in the public health setting. We have worked with this NGO called Arman, which is trying to improve health outcomes for expecting mothers. The statistics are so sobering. When we started that work, I remember the co-founder, Dr. Aparna Hegde, making this powerful statement that pregnancy is not a disease. There was a woman dying of at childbirth every 15 minutes in India when she started this nonprofit. And pregnancy is not a disease. Women should not be dying, right, of the disease. And there are so many children that we lose at a very early age because the right things weren't done. And yet some of these programs that nonprofits like Arman run, many women end up dropping out of that program. So we've actually built these AI-based models using all these fancy, restless, multi-armed bandit techniques, but which have actually in these randomized trials have been shown to work. They actually lead to greater engagement from some of these women who are at a bigger risk for dropping out, ultimately resulting in better health outcomes for them. Again, these are just kind of scratching the surface. There's so much that can be done, again, also in the public health space. And likewise, learning is another area that I'm very excited about, that with the kind of almost like superhuman capabilities that these AI assistants are able to offer, we truly now have that whole goal of personalized learning, right? Finally, insight as something which is very achievable now.
Thank you, Manish. Very inspiring to hear about how AI is solving for social inequalities. Padmaja, as investors and founders, we often discuss that a very strong AI talent pool is needed if founders have to really realize the potential of AI. So any advice to all the founders who are on the call on how can they partner with investors, academia, industry, government to really build a strong talent pool? Unlike traditional technology skills, we don't have a lot of AI skilled engineers available. Any thoughts there?
No. This is a good question, honestly, Apoorv. If we want to do what you said in your earlier point, that we want to be leader in AI driven solutions, then clearly we need. But what is AI? AI is not artificial intelligence for me. Right? AI is augmented intelligence. And just as we say that the AI tool needs to learn, you know, as Manish was saying, learn through the data that is generated, collate the data and keep sort of growing and improving itself. Don't you think even the humans have to do the same thing? You know, we ourselves have to keep evolving and learning. So one piece is clearly that there needs to be a upgradation of skills that need to happen, or upgradation of technical knowledge that needs to happen. And that is something that I think any company in AI, and we have a number of AI companies in our portfolio. So what we are doing is at two levels. We are ensuring that founders are constantly upgrading in small ways. They are upgrading their key team members. And then we also do the same at a portfolio level, so that they partake of this learning. Firstly, you have to also be open that you don't know. You have to move away from the fact that you know everything, right? You have to move into a mindset that you need to keep learning. Because unless you do that, you're going to be stuck in artificial intelligence, which is truly artificial. For me, it has to be augmented intelligence, right? Number two, I think it's also very important that AI is actually doing something which is not 100% of the way. There is data. It is collating that into information. It is analyzing it to you and giving it back to you. And it is also in some ways now throwing up knowledge to you, right? That is what AI is doing in different ways. But ultimately, that knowledge has to be applied somehow, right? And that application sits with humans. So there is this confidence level that we are trying to also build within our team to say that, listen, it's not, jobs are not gone away. Please, it's actually upgrading your values, your thought process, your value add to the whole project. So I think that is a second piece that we need to build confidence. And third, I think some people are doing it in the ecosystem. I mean, and I know various people who are trying to really structure AI programs at different levels, right? Even universities are starting to introduce. The other day I was speaking to somebody at Pluksha, and they were trying to introduce this AI in a very structured format. They have this at a foundational level, but how they can take it. So I think to me, there are two or three things. Your mindset change has to be there first to be able to say, I need to learn. AI is also a learning tool. Why can't we learn and keep at, you know, growing? That's the first thing. And finally, it's not taking you away from everything. I think it's pushing you to do value add. It goes back to the early 70s or mid 70s, right? When computers were introduced in banks. Remember, bank unions were up in arms. I mean, the youngsters won't remember it, and it puts my age into the limelight. But look what it's done. I mean, today the banking industry has flourished. One big reason is IT, right? So to me, I think there has to be a mind shift change. And then comes all the other things that I was talking about.
Excellent. We're going to take some audience questions. We have thousands of people on the call. So Manish, let me ask you the first question. Should we use already built AI models by top tech companies, or think about building it from scratch?
I think both should be done, and both are being done, right? So there are, again, of course, companies like ours, OpenAI, Meta, and others, right, building a lot of very powerful foundation models. So there's absolutely an amazing opportunity for now startups to utilize these models as starting point, right, and really build those powerful solutions. At the same time, I think there is room, and we have seen, again, startups like Sarvam. I was at their launch event last week, which are building, again, a lot of these LLMs, right, with natively better support for Indian languages. Of course, they are also, in many cases, starting with many of these open source models like Llama and so on. At the same time, again, we have seen, right, there is a need to, for instance, let's say, build better tokenizers for these Indian languages and so on. So, and ultimately also putting in better understanding, right, of the whole cultural nuances for different regions of a country. So I believe there is room to do both. And there is already, right, work happening in both of those, along both of those dimensions, which has been great to see.
That's a great answer, Manish. With that, we will conclude. We've covered a lot of ground today, from rapid evolution of AI to immense potential for startups to solve both business and societal problems. It's clear that AI is not just a technology, but a catalyst for innovation and societal change. I wanted to extend my sincere gratitude to Padmaja and Manish for a very, very engaging session. Your thoughts have really showcased a lot of insights for startups attending the call. Please stay tuned to all the participants. We will soon have my colleague Randeep Kaur, who will take you through the program orientation.
Thank you, Apurva. Thank you for inviting me. And great to have you in the same panel, Manish. Honored.
Likewise, Padmaja, thank you for joining again. And thanks, Apurva, for the opportunity.